The following podcast is brought to you by the Dominican University of California. Greetings and good day to you all. Thank you for tuning in to the Backwoods Show. Lace up your boots, grab your packs as we explore survival in the great outdoors. I'm your host, Jay, and remember, you're never just a mile away. Backwoods crew, I hope you guys are ready for today's podcast. I'm Jay, and today on the Backwoods Show, we are going to be talking about how to actually find help in the wilderness when you need it, and how to signal search and rescue. Being able to find help is very imperative in the wilderness and in your survival situation. It's important to know, and it's a good skill to learn, because you never know when you're going to need it, and when you're going to need it to save your or someone else's life. As being an outdoor adventurer, there comes along many risks of emergency situations that you can encounter in the wilderness. In many remote areas, you will not have cell phone connection, or it may just be sparse, which in turn will make it very difficult to reach help when you need. There are many different ways to draw attention to yourself if you are in fact caught in a dangerous situation in the outdoors. Knowing how to signal for help and being efficient in it can, in turn, be the difference between life and death. Nowadays, there are more modern ways of signaling and finding help. However, distress signals can take many different forms, from these high-tech electronics to the many primitive techniques that many of our ancestors and family members have used. Arguably, signaling and finding search and rescue is one of the most under-practiced skills. However, it's one of the most necessary to survive. Make sure to follow along and learn how to assist in your own rescue. To begin, one of the most common devices used for signaling for help in search and rescue is a whistle. Whistles are very good signaling devices, and they're good use for kids, on hiking outings, and also they're pretty easy to operate. While hiking in a group, using a whistle is perfect for short-range audible signaling to other people. Usually, 3 blasts of a whistle are interpreted as a universal sign for distress. It's also very smart to pick out a brightly colored whistle because it will be easier to see. Nowadays, many different backpacks and even some jackets have whistles attached to them, so make sure that you have a whistle or something similar on a piece of clothing and make sure it is easily accessible, because you never know what may happen. Also, while not very common, your whistle can freeze up from your spit, so it is important that you get a peeless whistle in case if you are going in places where it's going to be cold, because the last thing you want is your whistle freezing and you needing it. Another electronic method would be using a mirror. Next are signal mirrors. Signal mirrors are one of the furthest reaching non-electronic signal methods. You just have a little mirror, usually with a dial or something to help focus and aim the light. But once you properly aimed, you can create a flash that can attach to the attention of distant aircraft, vehicles, people, or even watercraft on a boat. So it's important that you have a mirror with a sighting lens, because you are going to want to help make sure that you can actually focus that beam on something, because it's going to be even that much brighter. And who knows, maybe it'll reach that much further to get that help. However, if you are not able to get a mirror with a sighting lens, turning the mirror on your palm and angling it a little bit so that the sun sort of skips off and reflects to your target may be a possible option. However, a sighting mirror will always work. Now, on to flares and flare guns. Handheld flares can provide a reasonably bright light for signaling. Also, If you are in a survival situation, they can also make a very good fire starter as well. Flare guns are similar to flares in the flame aspect. However, using a gun, it propels the flare into the sky, creating a sort of flash effect that creates a signal that can be seen from afar. Now, a flare gun may seem useful, but you're going to want to be aware of your surroundings, because you have to consider the danger of wildfire in your location. Many flares, when they hit the ground, they're actually still burning, so you don't want to get to any dry, bushy areas. You want to make sure that when you are using flare guns, you are using them in wetland areas, areas without much grass or dead grass, or on the open water. Because one strong gust of wind can change the direction, and your method of signaling no longer helps and starts a forest fire, thus defeating any plan of survival. Next up is something that you may not immediately come to mind. However, fires are a great use to use the smoke for signals. Smoke signals have been used for thousands of years to communicate from one another, and they are still useful to this day. All you need is to be able to have a fire going using green dead growth in order to actually get a hot, smoky fire. A cloth or something along the lines of that in order to cover the fire and be able to make smoke. Signals like SOS are effective. However, you are going to make sure that there isn't a very heavy presence of wind, because it will most likely blow it away, and thus making your communications not effective. However, even though this method is considered very old, it's very effective communicating over a mid to a long range. According to survival.com, one puff of smoke in the smoke signal means to get attention of somebody and relaying that you're preparing to send a signal. However, three puffs of smoke is a distress signal. Next are glow sticks. Glow sticks are pretty effective, and they are actually used in the armed forces as well, proving to be very reliable. Their multiple uses, along with their easy-to-use design, make them a very good tool. Now you may be thinking, what type of glow stick? Well, the different types of colors can have different meanings, and they do. White ones usually would just be to, you know, make sure you can see around camp. However, red ones and blue ones are most often associated with an emergency, similar to an ambulance or a cop car. Next is something that's kind of uncommon, but is still very useful, and that not many people may know. They are called signal pyres. These are essentially large rock piles arranged in a triangle in an open visible area, somewhere that you can see down from the sky. Usually the taller the better, because there will cast a shadow and it will be easier to see in the sky. Again, higher, larger makes it better. Also, something else that you can do is using large logs or something like that and making an arrow pointing to the path that you are stuck in or going. This will just help to get rescue crews an idea of where you are, and thus making it quicker for you to get help and be seen. Just make sure that these on the ground are visible from the sky, as planes may be passing over and you do not want to miss your chance. The use of flashlights are also very useful, because if you have one, you can signal other people in your group or possible things that can rescue you, such as a plane, other people, vehicles, or something along the lines of that. It is just important to know how to signal. One of the newer ways to actually help get search and rescue to you into your location is a GPS. Now, even little small ones can help send out signals, and these actually use very little batteries. Nowadays, you can also get very fancy with the different technology and all the different features. You can even have your own hike mapped out for you without any cellular connection. Make calls, texts, things like that. Things are really getting really cool. However, even with all this tech, it's important to know how to survive without it, because you may be stuck in a situation where it works and breaks, and then you're going to want to be able to know how to actually survive. These types of personal beacons and GPS devices are very cool and very handy when they work. Next up is another visual type of signal. If you're in an open space, make sure you can do a large X in whatever grass, dirt, snow, or anything that you are in. You want to make sure that is a very large X. You're going to want to make it as large as you can, usually not more than 30 feet, but between 20 and 30. Also, you're going to want to create more of a shadow, as said before with the rock formations. This is all just going to help make sure you are more visible to any outsiders. I wanted to talk about maybe why some of you may think that you do not need to signal. And if you really think about it, honestly, there are very few situations where you might go missing and somebody would not be looking for you, because you always have family or friends or people at your job and a record of something. However, most parks and wilderness areas require you to sign in before you even go off into a trailhead. So, the majority of us would have people know within 24 hours. If you don't know how to properly signal for help, it will drastically reduce your chance of rescue. Odds of rescue personnel getting close enough to your location to see your figure from the surrounding wilderness are not good. Most cases, rescuers have a fairly large area to cover and cannot go over every single square foot of land that they need to go over. So it's likely they cannot get close enough to you to see a visual sign or hear an audible signal. So it's important to make sure that you are seen in as many ways as possible. The key to any successful signal is contrast. You want to make sure that no matter what, it's standing out, and that it would catch the eye if you were looking down for someone else. Just think about what you would do. While actually assessing your circumstance that you may find yourself in, you want to make sure you are thinking about how will the rescuers actually be traveling. Will they be in helicopters, horses, their feet, or could they even be on four-wheelers or in cars? If you do not know, make sure you find out, because it will tell you a few things. Whether or not you are going to need to make a signal in the air, in the ground, both. You are going to want to be aware of where you are actually located. Whether you're at the bottom of a valley, the top of a mountain, or on a lake out open in the water, or even if in the ocean, if you happen to find yourself there as well. You want to make sure that you are the most dominant sound, you're the loudest thing, the most visible thing out there, to get every single chance of survival that you can, because everything you do may count. Now that you have heard some different types of signaling to find search and rescue, maybe you will think about it next time you go and prepare for your backpacking trip. It's always better be prepared for the worst, because you always want to have the rescue plan. It's always smart to tell people where you are and where you are heading, just in case if you don't come back, they know where you are located. Now that you have heard of some different search and rescue signal devices, maybe you will go and prepare for the next time you are backpacking, because it is always better to be safe than sorry. Thank you all for listening to this week's episode of The Backwoods Show. I'm Jay. And remember, you're never just a mile away. See y'all next week.